Welcome to Hillsong Church South Africa podcast. We pray that today's message will encourage and bless your life.
My message this morning, at the beginning of 2015, I know we're up to the 1st of March, pinch and a punch for the 1st of the month. Let's pinch and a punch your neighbor. Pinch and a punch for the 1st of the month. Do you say that here? No? Have you never heard that saying? Okay, it's a pinch and a punch for the 1st of the month, a hit and a kick for being so quick. I can't believe you don't know that. Where have you people been? It's very good, isn't it? Okay, in 2015, I was on holiday and I was just, we had a homey holiday. It was awesome. And we stayed at home. I was thinking about the year ahead. As I thought about 2015, I thought to myself, what would I really, really want 2015 to look like? You know, I love New Year's because you always think towards that angle. You always think, what's going to happen in this year? And what's something different that's going to happen? And you know, at the end of the day, I thought, I really, if I'm honest in my heart, the simplicity of it is I want 2015 to be different to 2014. Not that 2014 was bad, but I just want 2015, something different. Does anybody else want something different in 2015? I didn't want to go into 2015 and have the same old, same old. I do want to say, I forgot to say this, we are continuing our Inner Strength series today. See, Inner Strength. My message is all about if you apply this, you will have absolute inner strength. But okay, I said that. So anyway, sitting thinking, I don't want the same in 2015. I want something different. I want it to be a different year, full of new things and new experiences. And so I was thinking towards that angle. And then Chris Mendez and Lucy came around for dinner and I was talking to them just about the year ahead. And he goes, you've got to listen to Pastor Brian's message on unusual things. And I said, okay, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to do it tonight. So they left and I got on my computer and I downloaded it and I listened to his message. And then I fell asleep halfway through. You know how you do that because you're tired. So then I had to listen to it again the next day. And I listened to that message and I was completely inspired by the message. And I was inspired that 2015, God wants to do unusual things. And he's speaking that over our church. And then he spoke it at Vision Sunday. He said, this is going to be a year of dangerous declarations. It's going to be a year of unusual things. And then he spoke in this message. He said, I believe over our church, God's going to give you unusual wisdom this coming year. He's going to give you unusual strategies. He's going to give you unusual influence this coming year. And church, I believe that is for you. Because if our senior pastor says it, take it, run with it, believe for it. Because I believe in 2015, this is going to be a year of the unusual, a supernatural year in Jesus' name. Is anybody up for that? Supernatural year. So I've called my message this morning, The Unusual Church. Because I'll promise you with all of my heart, as long as Phil and I are pastors in this role at this church, we will never pastor a normal church. Are you okay about that? We will never pastor a normal church. That's why we launch out into places like Guguletu and into places like Mitchell's Plain. We start in places like Tafelsig. Now, who knows? We're going to go to Johannesburg and Braamfontein and we're going to rebuild the ruined cities. Why are we going to do that? Because we are not a normal church. We're an unusual church. I'm passionate. I'm spitting. Hope it doesn't land on you. But we are church. We're an unusual church. And I want us together to believe for unusual things. I know in your life, if you allow him, God is going to blow your mind this year. He's going to do unusual, supernatural, abnormal, ridiculous things where people look and go, are you kidding? But today I feel in the spirit, he just wants to stir our hearts. Is that okay? He wants to stir the church and say, come on, lift your level of expectation. He's going to have to do unusual things. The unusual church, this is an unusual church. What does that unusual church look like? Well, I believe God does unusual things. I'm going to put this saying up. God does unusual things. God works in unusual ways and God uses unusual people. How good is that? Does anybody here feel a little bit unusual? All three of us. Okay, you're so like spiritual. Does anyone feel a bit odd sometimes? God does unusual things. God works in unusual ways, and God uses unusual people. That's what he does. What does unusual mean? What does unusual mean? Unusual means this. Unusual means unique. Unusual means out of the ordinary. Unusual means uncommon. Unusual means extraordinary. Anybody want to be extraordinary? Unusual means remarkable. Unusual, yes, it means rare. Unusual means strange and even slightly odd. I love the meaning of unusual because everybody qualifies. It doesn't matter how you feel today, what has been said about you, what hasn't been said about you, what you think should have been said about you. I am here to declare over our church for 2015 that God does unusual things, he works in unusual ways, and he uses unusual people. That is good news. So if you're slightly odd, just rest comforted that God is going to use you. And whatever boxes you've put God in and allowed him to do in your life, I want to encourage you to break out of those boxes this year because I think he's going to just do more than you could imagine. You know, think about the Bible. Think about all the awesome stories in the Bible. Sarah and Abraham. Sarah and Abraham. God appears to them. He sends angels and he says, Sarah, I know you're like in your 80s, 90s, heading towards 100. I just want you to know that I am going to give you a baby. Sarah's like, get out. It's impossible. It's impossible. And God says to Sarah, no, I'm going to give you a baby. And you know, let's have a look at the story in Genesis chapter 18. It says, then one of the angels said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to the conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old at this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is so old? And you know how the story goes. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did you say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Don't you love that? How could God give me such pleasure? I wonder if that's what you say in your thinking. How could someone like me be used of God? How could God do something great through someone like me? You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand where I've been. You don't understand my background. How could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure? Do you know, church, I just have a feeling this was an unusual situation. It wasn't your normal that God turns. If God came to me at my age, I'm 21, and he said, Lucinda, you're going to have another baby. Unusual. Why are you laughing? Do you know, church, be reminded that God does unusual things and he uses unusual people and he works in unusual ways. That's why he said to the people of Jericho, he goes, I want you to go. We need you to march around the city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you need to blow a horn. Now, I'm sorry, that is unusual. Is that not weird? If we all went out today and we all got a horn, and we gave out horns as you left, we all went into the city of Cape Town, we marched around it six times, and on the seventh time, we said, come on, church, blow your horn. I'm just asking, would you think that was weird? Exactly. But I don't know why, but God does unusual things. He works in unusual ways, and he uses unusual people. I'm not telling you to go blow a horn today because that would be weird. But I am saying, I don't know what God is going to do this year, but I do feel it's going to be unusual. Then God spits in the ground. He spits in the ground and he rubs it. He rubs the mud and then he puts it in a man's eyes. That's unusual. Is that unusual? But then what happened? The man was able to see, because God does unusual things. He works in unusual ways and he uses unusual people. And then you've got the one where the sun and the moon stood still for one day. Never happened before, never happened since. Why did that happen? I don't know, because God wanted to bring victory. But you know what? God does unusual things. He works in unusual ways and he uses unusual people. That's why he said to the man, with go out there and feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because God does unusual things. He works in unusual ways and he uses unusual people. And so if it's good enough then, it's good enough for us now. There's a story, a scripture in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, it says this. And God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. Do you know, it's not just for Paul. Paul's dead and he's gone. Moses is dead and gone. Joshua is dead and gone. Ruth is dead and gone. People are dead and gone. But you know what? Is everybody breathing in the room? Are you sure? Check your neighbor. Are they breathing? If everybody's breathing, I think God wants to use you to do unusual miracles, just like he did with Paul. Do you know what? In this scripture, you know what God was saying? I'm going to use Paul to do unusual miracles. So what I want you to do is bring all the handkerchiefs to me and we're going to pray over them. And then you're going to take the handkerchiefs and you're going to use them to heal the sick. No, I'm sorry. That is weird. If someone comes with a handkerchief and says, I'm going to put this on you and you're going to be healed, is that weird? Yeah. But I don't know why, but God did it and he used it. God does unusual things. He uses unusual people. And I just think, church, he's saying, come on, church, balcony, come on. You might be sitting in the balcony, but you're not going to be casual or average this year. You might be in the floor here, but we're not having an average year because God wants to do something unusual. And he's going to use you. And he's going to use me. And that's good news. 6 things. Let's see how we go. 6 things about this unusual church, the unusual church. What does it look like? I think number one, it has an unusual hunger. Unusual hunger. Church, how tragic it would be to pastor a church that wasn't hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how tragic it would be for me to get to the end of my days and not have been hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's so many things people hunger for. But we'll talk about food. Tell me what happens if you're hungry and you don't eat. You get malnutrition. If you get malnutrition, what happens? You get sick. If you stay with malnutrition, what happens? You die. How tragic it would be to have a church that was suffering from malnutrition because they never eat anything of the goodness of God, and then eventually they end up sick spiritually, and then eventually they die spiritually. Do you know what? That can happen in churches. But I believe by the Spirit of God, he's igniting a new hunger in the hearts of his people. He's igniting it. It's not like a man-made thing. God is igniting a hunger in the hearts of you and me. And I pray we allow him to do it. We don't want to have malnutrition and we don't want to spiritually die. We want to stay awake and we want to stay full of life. How do you get hungry if you're not hungry? Well, I don't know, how I get hungry is like I get hungry and then I eat a little something amazing. And then you taste it and you're like, oh my gosh, that is so good. Can I have some more? And then you have a little bit more. And then you have a little bit more. See, if you taste how good he is, if you taste, church, how good he is, like 2 minutes in his presence, you're like, man, maybe I could just go 5 minutes. So good. Maybe I could just go 6 or 7 minutes because it's so good. Maybe I could go 10 minutes and then your capacity for the Lord increases. And then you're like, man, I feel alive. I feel alive on God's great dance floor. You feel alive. Something starts to come alive on the inside of you. But I want to encourage our church. you know what? Let's have an unusual hunger for the things of God this year, because that's what I believe He's after. Most of all, He's after you. That's why Joanna Haverkamp preached a prophetic word. She said, come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me, my beloved. Rise up. That was it. Rise up. Come away with me and see all that I want to do. You know, church, this is a year of unusual hunger. In Psalm 63, it says this, Psalm of David. This is a moment in David's life where his son Absalom is turning on his father. He's turning on his own father and he's saying, I want to usurp your authority. I want to take the throne. I want you out and I'm going to come in. This is his own son. And then look what David says. It was a time in the wilderness. In the wilderness. I love that. Oh God, you are my God, he says. Earnestly I search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in a parched and a weary land where there's no water. I've seen you in my sanctuary, gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you. I love that. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. So awesome. I pray, church, that we'll be the kind of people who lie awake in our beds at night and we ponder the Lord and we meditate upon the Lord and we create a hunger for the things of God. And it's like so, it's so strong in you. You're like, man, I can't wait to get home. I just want to get in the presence of God. I can't wait to go for a walk and just talk to the Lord. I can't wait to get out of here and just sit and read my Bible. I can't wait to get home from work. I just need 5 minutes with the Lord. You know, 5 minutes, sometimes that's all it takes. But I'm telling you, I pray this year, church, we have an unusual hunger for the things of God. Number two thing, I pray that we have an unusual faith and expectation. An unusual faith and expectation. You know, at the beginning of the year, I was on leave and Lawrence Kruger, he's one of our great pastor leaders here. And he sent an email. He looks after some of our services. And he sent an email to the service pastors and he always CCs me in. And this is what his email said. On Tuesday morning when I arrived at church, he said, I was inspired by Javan pastors Mitchell's plane, when he immediately started speaking about his expectation for what God was going to do in Mitchell's plane in 2015. He goes, I want to encourage you to the service pastors. I want to encourage you to stir your faith and your vision for our church and for your service this coming year. This is what I believe. I believe that there's going to be countless salvations in church this year. I believe that many new people will find a home in church. I believe that whole families will be transformed to serve Jesus. I believe that broken relationships will be restored. I believe that the sick will be healed and that the jobless will find work and that the addicted will be set free. I believe that people in our church will have such a desire to walk with Jesus that it will transform their quiet time, their generosity, their workplace, their family, their attitudes, their connect group, their neighborhood, and their sphere of influence. I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit will be so evident that leaders will be raised up in our church. Leaders that are sold out and committed to build the house. I believe that every generation will be blessed through the worship and the teaching in our services. I believe that the name of Jesus will be made great in 2015. Come on! Do you know, I read that. I read it and I'm like, this is awesome. I'm not coming back from holidays. They've got it covered. They don't need me anymore. But I actually thought to myself, how awesome is that? Because he's walking into 2015 with such faith and such expectation. And can I encourage your heart, church? Whatever you've faced thus far, it's March 1 today. And you know, already I know there's people in our church that have lost loved ones and that have faced sicknesses and that have had huge challenges, insurmountable challenges in their life. And even internally, you're facing challenges. But can I say this, You cannot lose your hope, because if you lose your hope, you've lost out. That's why God says, I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened so that you might know the hope of your calling. Because if you've got breath in your body, there's still hope. There's hope for a better day. That's why we always say as a church, the best is yet to come. Because whatever it is, there's always hope. There's always hope. I want to encourage you this year to have faith and have expectation in your heart. In your heart. You know, when they, Paul, this is, I just have to say this story, but you know, Peter was thrown into prison. It said he was chained up between two guards. And then he had other guards watching him. He's chained between two guards. He had other guards watching him. But then what happened? The church began to pray. Everybody say pray. They prayed that Peter would get out of prison. And then what happens? The story goes, you can read it in Acts 12. He gets out of prison. The angels appear. They undo the locks. They undo the chains. They remove the guards and Peter walks out. He thinks he's dreaming. He gets out of prison. And then what happens? He goes to, I think it's Rhonda. Rhonda's door. He knocks on the door. And Rhonda's like, hello, who is it? He's like, it's Peter. And she's like, no, you're lying. It's not Peter. He's like knocking on the door. She runs back. Guys, Peter's at the door. They said, no way. There's no way. There's no way he's at the door. They're in there praying that Peter's going to get out of prison. So they keep the door shut. No, he's not there. He's not there. And then Peter's like knocking. And then finally, she opens the door. She opens the door. And then who comes walking through? It's Peter. He's out of prison. Church, when I read that, I thought about that scripture. I'm like, can you please be reminded? When you pray, pray with faith and expectation, because you just don't know what door is going to open. Open the door. Don't keep it shut. Open the door. Say, man, it might have all failed in the past. Everything might have been horrible. People might have died. People might have been killed. But I've still got breath. So I've still got hope. I still can pray. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open the door. Open the door. They stood amazed. It said they stood amazed because they opened the door with faith and expectation that what they had been praying was coming to pass. Come on, church, that's so good. I'm preaching better than you are helping me. That is good. You pray. Someone's in prison here. Their chains come off. What is it you're believing for? What is it you're trusting for? What is it you're hanging on for? Because I just feel to remind us, people say, oh, don't have expectation in case you get disappointed. Well, okay, you can live that way. But I choose to live a different way. I choose to live with faith and expectation. And if I'm disappointed, I'm going to have a moment and I'm going to dust myself off and I'm going to keep living with faith and expectation. Because you know, we serve a big God. He's going to open your eyes. You know, Hagar in the Bible. What's her name's? Abraham, Sarah. Sarah got promised a son. You know how I told you that? She got promised a son. She had FOMO. I know this isn't our FOMO series. We're talking inner strength. But she did have FOMO. She had fear of missing out. God's not going to give me a son. I'm too old. It's impossible. It can't happen. Can't happen. But then God said, no, I'm going to give you a son. So the promise is here, your promise, whatever your promise is. Bible's full of promises. But in between here, this is the fulfillment of the promise. I think it was like 14 years. Promise, fulfillment. In between, there's a whole lot of time. Whole lot of time. So Sarah thought, this isn't happening. God's not going to do it. God's not going to come through for me. He obviously doesn't love me. He hasn't come through with the goods. I'll take it into my own hands. Abraham, I want you to go and sleep with Hagar. Okay, she doesn't know what she's doing here. She's asking her husband to sleep with another woman. Crazy. I know what I'd do if my husband sleeps with another woman. She's saying, go sleep with another woman. And so Abraham says, if I have to, I'll go sleep with another woman. And then Abraham goes, sleeps with Hagar. Hagar gets pregnant and she ends up with Ishmael. And then, of course, what happens? When you take it into your own hands and when you forget that you can trust God, you can trust Him, even if it's a lot of years. So she takes it into her own hands. Now she's angry. This woman called Hagar, she's not going to stay in my house. She's got to get out, man. I don't even like this woman. I hate her. She makes me angry. She started to treat her with contempt because what she had done was now missing the mark, and now it was causing pain. So the pain Sarah was feeling was now inflicted onto Hagar. Hagar also felt the pain. Now she's kicked out with her son Ishmael. She's out. And then look at what God does. Because you can miss the will of God, church, but you can never miss the grace of God. Because God's grace is so awesome. It's so awesome. When the water was gone, so Hagar's out there on her own with her son, nothing to drink. When the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. And then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. I don't want to watch the boy die, she said, as she burst into tears. But God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. Hagar, what's wrong? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. And God, go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants. And then God opened Hagar's eyes and she saw a well full of water. Do you know, church, when I read that, it like, you know how things leap off the page? It like leapt off the page. I'm like, God, God Almighty, whether you believe in Him or whether you don't, He has the power to open your eyes and you can see what you've never seen before. You can believe what you've never believed before. God opened Hagar's eyes in the middle of an impossible situation. She thought she was going to die. God intervened with His grace and He opened her eyes. Church, 2015, God is opening our eyes. He's opening our eyes to what we've never seen before. And He's asking us to trust Him. Don't take it in our own hands, but trust Him. In Jesus' name, an unusual church has an unusual hunger. An unusual church has unusual faith and expectation. An unusual church has an unusual passion. Do you know, you look up the word passion in the dictionary just to get a meaning. Go home and do it. Look it up in the Oxford Dictionary. It says this, the death of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That is what it says. That is the greatest form of passion known to mankind today, is the death of Jesus Christ. If that is the greatest form of passion, how much passion should we have as a church? You know, we're ridiculous. Who comes to church five times on Sunday? We do, because we're passionate. Who does crazy things like start a church in Guguletu and then start a church in Johannesburg and launch out into Pretoria and go to Tafelsig and then Mitchell's Plain? Who does this? Passionate people do that. And I just think He's turning up our passion this year. He's turning it up because we've got the greatest cause to be passionate about. What is passion? Does it look like a loud and crazy personality? No. Passion is just this compelling emotion that stirs you to do something greater than yourself and give your life to a cause that's worth dying for. That is what passion is. But I'll be honest, church, there's always things that try to come and steal your passion. Things come and steal your passion. You read about it in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, look at this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight, everybody say weight, that slows us down, especially the sin, everybody say sin, that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Do you know, church, this scripture is awesome because it's telling us we've got a race to run. So if I have no sin, like I've really got things right. You know, sin is just missing the mark. You know, missing the mark. You separate it from God because of sin. That's why He sent Jesus. Confess your sin, He forgives you. Makes things new. Brings you from death to life. Awesome. But then there's things called weights. Weights are things that slow you down. So if I've got rid of my sin and my weights, I can actually run with endurance the race that is set before me. I've got 2 minutes. I can run it easily, can't I? Look at this. I can run. How's the camera going? How are you going, Mr. Cameraman? okay, you can run your race. You're like, I can do this because I've dealt with my sin, keep dealing with it, got rid of my weights, and you run with endurance. Is that right? Keep on going, keep on going. But if you've got weights, come up here, Mandy. If you've got weights, and what could a weight be? Well, a weight could be, what could a weight be? Like a bad relationship? Could be a friendship you're in that you know you've just got to make some changes. It could be an addiction, something you know you've got to lay down, but you don't want to. It could be an addiction. It could be a number of things. A weight is like this. Jump on my back. Now, this is, she's freaking out because she's on my back. But I'm strong. I've done my weights. Oh, I'm so strong. Inner strength. Okay, get back on. Okay. This is actually spiritually what happens to people. So you've got to have an unusual passion, and you so want to have an unusual passion, and you're believing to have an unusual passion, but you're so weighed down by all the different weights and sins that try to pull you back. So if I try to run my race with endurance, it's slightly more challenging, especially in high heels. And you know what? This is often, if you could see people with spiritual eyes, this is often what they look like. They come into church, they're like praising, hallelujah, yes, this is so awesome, but they're carrying around all these unnecessary weights. And do you know what? Thank you, Mandy. You know what, church? The worship team want to come. You know what? I actually believe in order to step into everything He's got for us and not allow Him to steal our passion, we've got to make a decision to put aside the weights and put aside the sin, because all it does is slow you down, and you want to be somewhere and you want to go somewhere and you want to be unusual and you want to make a difference, but you're getting weighed down by all this stuff. And I want to encourage you, church, this year, 2015, think about what could be weighing you down. Think about what could be stopping you. Determine in your heart, you're going to put it aside. Unusual hunger, unusual faith and expectation, an unusual passion for the things of God. I have three more points. Come back next service. I'm going to finish them. Can you stand to your feet, church? Were you blessed by my three thoughts? You know, if you apply that, if you apply unusual hunger, unusual faith and expectation, and you apply unusual passion, you will have inner strength. It's impossible not to, because your source, like Phil said last week, is Jesus. And He keeps us strong. He puts iron on the inside of us, and He keeps us running our race.
Thank you for tuning in today. Why not join us for one of our Sunday services? You can visit us online at hillsong.co.za for service times and locations.